You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another live episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned for you today. During the first hour, we'll be joined by Jonathan Mike to talk about overtraining, overreaching, recovery, really, really important discussions we'll get into with Jonathan shortly. And then we're going to switch it up and be joined by Al Covadlo. For those of you who know him about his progressive calisthenics approaches, he's pretty world-renowned today. We'll be joined by him later in the show. I just want to mention something, and it's quite sad. On the 21st of this month, we had Seth Roberts on the show to talk about the Shangri-La diet. And I posted this in my blog, but if you didn't see it already, Seth passed away suddenly on the 26th of this month. All we know is he collapsed while hiking near his home in Berkeley, California. We don't know anything more than that. There is a blog post at SuperHumanRadio.com. And the family is asking, basically, if you want to provide any memorial gifts, to do it through Amnesty International in Seth's name. Very, very sad to say that. He was a young man and really, really a great contributor to the discussion of diet and obesity. And he will be sorely missed. Okay. We are being joined by Jonathan Mike. How you doing, Jonathan?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, my pleasure. Now, you happen to be a native Louisvillian, right?
I am a native Louisvillian, Derby City, Elville, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, but you've been around. Mike T. Nelson, who is a friend and a friend of the show, had introduced you to Ginny Robards, and Ginny is responsible for guest coordination and so on. And she was quite impressed with a lot of the discussions that you seem to be involved with right now. You seem to have a couple areas that you really, really like to talk about, and that is overreaching, overtraining, and recovery, and also eccentric training, right?
Yes, that's awesome. Yes, absolutely.
Now, you just give us a little background about yourself. How did you get started in the physical culture game?
Sure. I'm finishing up my doctorate now in exercise phys at University of New Mexico in Albuquerque. I got my undergrad and master's, both in exercise science from Western Kentucky University, so I went down to Bowling Green for Hilltoppers.
Sure.
I was a student and conditioning assistant there for a few years, and then when I was done, I worked at U of L for a strength coach and did some other things there. I'm heavily involved in NSCA. I've also worked in semi-private training before, working with a lot of, female clients and doing, metabolic types of resistance training classes. I've been published in NSCA a few times and working on another article, actually, as we speak. I've done a lot of contributing work for co-authored articles for Idea Fitness Journal, Oxygen Mag, Experience Life, Muscle and Body. I'm currently a team member and columnist for Elite FTS, EliteFTS.com.
Sure. Dave Tate's website, very popular website.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love being involved with the company, and also write monthly for Muscle Mag International. So I've also competed in strongman several times. So I'm a big avid heavy lifter and competitor, and also a science guy. So
there you go. Okay, so great. So it sounds like you use a variety of different disciplines to come to these conclusions. Probably some of it's self experimentation, some of it's science derived, some of it just what you see with clients that you work with, and so on. So first of all, let's address the whole. You know, there are so many people out there who don't even believe overtraining exists.
Right.
What would you say to them, first of all?
Well, I would say that there's two different types of camps. There's one camp that says overtraining does not exist. It's a myth. It's a fallacy. And then there's people on the other side that says it does exist, but to what degree, to what magnitude? But the truth of the matter is that it does exist, okay? But it's people, when most people think that they're overtrained, they're not. They're just really overreached, okay? So, I mean, there's been so much science that has come across overtraining in the last several years, and it's always a high level of concern with athletes, you know, college, you know, pro, top-level athletes. And that's a good thing, and it's been a bad thing. It's been a good thing because it's brought more awareness and education and knowledge to us. But it's also been a bad thing, I think, because it's created a lot of fear for people in saying, well, I don't want to train hard, or I don't want to do this because I'm afraid I'm going to overtrain. But it's a lot harder to come by than what people think.
Okay, so let's talk about this first of all. What are some of the early indicators of overtraining? And then we'll talk about some of the more scientific things that are going on in there in assessing overtraining. When you talk to somebody, what is it that you tell them to watch out for to determine whether or not they're starting to move into that dangerous realm of overtraining?
Okay, well, there's typically initial signs and symptoms like performance decrement, physiological disturbances like hormonal disturbances. There's a whole list of things. Probably the main ones are really, like I said, decline in performance. There's also impaired muscular strength. Some people can be overtrained or highly, highly overreached, but they don't get impairments in muscular strength. There's also joint aches and pains and prolonged recovery. Like, those are the main ones. Other ones like loss of appetite or, you know, frequent nausea or GI.
What about? I've heard a lot about sleep when all of a sudden you notice you're not sleeping well.
Absolutely. That's actually, you know, the prevalence of overtraining is actually not as high as people think. It's really around 20-30%, but it's seen higher in like individual sport athletes and females and those competing at high levels. But what people seem to forget is that there's confounding variables like inadequate nutrition, illness, or urinary tract infections, and like you said, sleep. You know, one of the things about sleep, and I wrote an article for Elite back in March called Gut Recovery, and I talked about sleep, you know, quite a bit. If you're not getting adequate sleep, you're not going to be able to recover optimally, and you're not going to perform optimally. And typically, sleep, you know, we're talking somewhere in the 7 to 9 hour range. But it's not just quantity, it's also quality. So you can get 6 hours of quality sleep and be fine, okay, versus getting 8 or 9, okay, and feel like crap.
Okay? Yeah.
You know, and there's also like psychosocial stressors, which people don't take in consideration. You know, how stressful is your job? How stressful is work stress, life stress? You know, is your boss stressing you out? You know, do they know anything about training? So there's other things to really take in consideration, but inadequate nutrition and illness, psychosocial stressors, and sleep are really the huge confounding types of variables.
Now, what about
and you know?
Good. I'm sorry. Good.
Go ahead.
No. Good.
Well, the thing is that a lot of people like to just say it's just inadequate nutrition or it's just sleep. You know, so to say that these variables are not really involved, or to say that one has more prevalence than the other, is really just a flat-out lie.
Yeah, no, I agree. What about some of these more less subjective, more technological approaches to assessing overtraining, like heart rate variability, or even something as simple as Dan John came on the show many, many years ago, and one of the things he likes to do is get an athlete when they are not training, have them pick a key on a keyboard, tap it for 15 seconds as many times as they can, and then use that as a baseline to assess the ability to fire nerves, which he says is an early indicator of overtraining. What do you think about something as simple as that, and the other extreme being heart rate variability monitoring?
I think what Dan John said is actually a very unique and probably underused, undervalued assessment. That's just probably what he uses just over his experience. You know, what's interesting about heart rate variability is that, you know, what's one of the consequences in terms of overtraining is reduced max heart rate after training. But with heart rate variability, and there's different types of software that you can use like BioForce and Omega Wave, but to be honest, it does a really good job of assessing overall readiness of training, but you have to take in consideration your overall life and your overall physical well-being, psychology. You know, if a software says that you're ready, but you've been doing max effort work for the last week or two, or you've been traveling, you haven't been getting enough sleep, you know, that's where you really need to know your body through experience and training to be able to disseminate, you know, what you feel versus what something is actually telling you. And to believe it or not, there's very few studies on heart rate variability with just overtraining and overreaching. They don't seem to provide overall like consistent results.
Let's do this. We have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about overreaching and then fold that into the eccentric training style. We're talking right now with Jonathan Mike. His website is thestrengthexchange.com if you want to learn more. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Not only does he poke holes in corporate lies, he tears them a new one.
All of the associated companies that say that GMO labeling is unfair to them cite that it would cost too much money to change the label on the box. But meanwhile, they spend millions and millions fighting labeling. Why don't they just use that money to label the boxes?
His name is Carl Lenore.
And keep in mind, Madeira, the province of Portugal, Switzerland, India, and Thailand have all banned, B-A-N-N-E-D, the sale and growth of genetically modified foods in their countries because they prefer to wait for more research to come out before they subject their citizens to it.
On Superhuman Radio.
Everybody deserves to know what they're eating. This is nonsense.
Taking vitamin D without taking the MK7 form of K2 can lead to unwanted tissue calcification. A growing body of evidence shows cardiovascular and bone benefits from taking vitamin D and K2 together. Getting MK7 from the diet is virtually impossible. Doctor-formulated Leaner Living's K2 plus D3 product is free of soybean oil and GMOs, blended into a potent olive oil base that is the dynamic duo of fat-soluble vitamins. Save 10% off when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Leaner Living banner ad today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizol, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
The best fat loss patch just got better. Now, the Age Force Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Age Force Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat? Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. Age Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
In a world of advanced bodybuilding supplementation, the numbers don't lie. Fact, Iron Mag Labs is among the fastest growing hardcore supplement companies in the world. Fact, when it comes to no-nonsense, cutting-edge products, nobody delivers results like Iron Mag Labs. Fact, the Iron Mag Labs line of innovative formulation has set a new industry standard with products that are helping world-class bodybuilders reach levels they never thought possible. Iron Mag Labs is a proud supporter of bodybuilders everywhere. Discover the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com today.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Jonathan Mike. We're talking about overtraining, overreaching, recovery. These are discussions that you can't have too often, because quite often people forget. Most of us are pretty OCD about training, and recovery has got to be part of the equation. So overreaching differs from overtraining in that
right.
you're kind of just flirting with overtraining, right?
Sort of. I mean, the definitions are actually almost identical, but with overreaching, essentially it takes days to several weeks to recover, whereas true overtraining takes several weeks to actual months. But even though there's subtle differences, the huge difference and the biggest difference is really the amount of time for performance restoration and not really the type of duration of the training stress. So everyone is trained really, really hard leading up to a contest or just, you know, overall, and they just feel they're having these initial signs and symptoms, but they may not be truly overtrained. They're more than likely just overreached. And then typically within a week or two, they're already fully recovered. Okay. Whereas overtraining takes, you know, several months to even up to years. So they actually lie in more of a continuum with one another. Okay. And there's a few different other terms like short-term overreaching, or some people call functional overreaching and extreme overreaching, and now you're really getting into the actual overtraining syndrome itself. So typically with overreaching, you know, with functional overreaching, you don't really have a lot of negative consequences, and there's a lot of positive adaptation if you use it strategically and correctively. And so once you start training really hard and more, in terms of, you know, let's just say, for example, there's too many competitions, back-to-back, and not enough recovery time, then you start getting into stagnation and plateau. And if you keep doing that chronically over time, then you're really getting into the true overtraining.
You know, obviously, one of the things that causes people to become overtrained quite quickly are advanced techniques. We all love advanced techniques, right? Static
yeah.
holds, eccentric training, all sorts of different advanced techniques that tend to push the muscles into areas where they are not accustomed to going. But really, it's not so much the muscles that are challenged by these advanced techniques as it is the nervous system, right?
Absolutely. And we actually, somebody had a question about that, because I was at Elite FTS this past weekend, and it is so easy, a lot easier to trash your nervous system and have, you know, CNS types of impairment and overtrain CNS than it is the actual muscle itself. Okay. You know, because you can do bicep curls, you know, in arms probably 4 or 5 days a week if you wanted to. You know, the likelihood of you really getting the true overtraining is a lot less than if you did, you know, max effort stuff, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or several times throughout the month, without, you know, going lighter sessions and without adequate rest and recovery.
Yeah. So what are the most damning, do you think, of the advanced techniques that take the greatest toll on the neuromuscular system that require a greater degree of recovery?
Typically, if we're just talking like muscle action, it's certainly eccentrics. And there's a lot of really good things that come with training with eccentrics. And then there's some other, there could be some consequences. You know, one of the consequences is essentially you have a lot more muscle damage with eccentrics than you do concentrics. And, you know, one of the things about what promotes overall muscle hypertrophy, there's really three main things, and it's, you know, mechanical tension or time under tension, you know, metabolic stress and muscle damage. And of course, you can get muscle damage from not doing a whole lot of eccentrics, but if you're doing a lot of eccentrics, you're certainly going to have more muscle damage. And when you have more muscle damage, I mean, it's a physiological certainty, right? I mean, you're just going to take more time to recover.
Right. Now, why are eccentrics so much more damaging? Is it because muscle fibers are primarily designed to contract and not elongate under stress?
Yeah, I mean, typically, if we're talking about eccentric actions, it just describes muscle elongation, right, or active lengthening of fibers under load. So, and when you're seeking maximal strength development, I don't really believe that you can do it without eccentrics. You know, the fact that eccentrics, you know, more people use it, you know, than they actually think that they do, whether they do it on purpose or really not. So, you know, when you use eccentrics, you have max tension, okay? So, and you have more muscle, you know, elongation or the stretch. So when you're stretching those fibers out, you know, they tend to tear, and you have growth and restoration. You have, you know, satellite cell activation and all those types of physiological mechanisms. And when that happens, it's just going to take a little bit more time to recover. Somebody asked me a question online, and they were wondering, you know, they were doing all these training things, and they were wondering why they weren't recovering properly. And one of the things that I mentioned and asked them, are they doing a lot of eccentrics? And this is without me knowing what they were actually doing. And they came back and said, yeah, I'm actually doing a lot of eccentrics, among other things, and that's just taking you a lot long to really recover.
Wouldn't eccentrics, you know, there are a lot of people out there who think when we talk about eccentric training that, you know, you're loading a bar with more weight than you can handle, and then you're either lowering it going in the reverse direction of the way the muscle was designed to work. But really, if you just pay attention to raising the bar and lowering the bar in a slow, controlled fashion, you are basically doing eccentric work, right?
Yeah, and you can actually purposely do eccentrics. And you know, and most people don't really think, you know, when they do eccentrics, they just think bicep curls and, you know, and dips and things like that. You can actually do eccentrics with, you know, glute ham raises, you know, bench or, you know, board pressing or things of that nature. But you can also do straight up eccentric only. It's not used as often. One of the disadvantages is that you actually have to use training partners. You know, you can load 500 pounds on the bench, you know, but most people can't do it on the concentric. But they can do it easily on the eccentric pretty much every time.
Right. And so do you feel that like priming a pump, if somebody were to load a weight that they know they can't bench press and had partners on each side, training partners on each side, and all they did was unrack it, lower it, have assistants re-racking it, unrack it, lower it, have assistants re-racking it, that would beget greater strength gains?
By itself, no, I don't believe so. Okay, you have to have the concentric along with it too. You can get stronger just doing some eccentrics. Okay, but I don't really know of anybody that's going into the gym and all they're doing is eccentrics only with pretty much everything that they do. Now, remember what I said a few minutes ago. I don't think you can maximally develop a muscle, okay, unless you have eccentrics. But you have to have the concentric as well. Now, one of the things about eccentric is that compared to concentric, the energy cost of eccentric exercise is actually low despite the high muscle force that's being generated.
Yeah, right.
Okay? Right. So, and typically with eccentrics compared to concentric, you actually have the reversal of the size principle. So we know size principle, you know, you start out with light weights and you use slow twitch muscle fibers. As the weight gets heavier, you recruit fast twitch fibers for the higher load. But with eccentrics, it's actually the reversal, okay? So it results in fast twitch being recruited first, okay? So with eccentric exercise, it's also linked to things like increases in protein synthesis and IGF-1 and like mRNA expression compared to just concentric actions.
Now, we're going to go into a break in a moment, and I don't want to start discussing this now. But I want to talk a little bit when we come out of the break about training to failure, which is also really what would be considered a more advanced technique for building both strength and size.
Right.
But before we go into that, I want to get your opinion on rhabdomyolysis. There's a lot of discussion ever since CrossFit came into in vogue that there are people out there pushing themselves into very, very dangerous places and developing rhabdo. But would you say the average person could go into the gym, assuming they're not on a statin drug, by the way, because you can develop rhabdo right. really easy on a statin drug. But assuming this person is relatively healthy, not on a statin drug, does the average person have the ability to push themselves into a rhabdo-like state?
In one word, yes.
Okay. All right. So I'm wrong. I'm wrong. Because well, I always thought, I've trained so hard so many times and I've never gotten rhabdo. And I'm thinking, well, I'm pretty advanced. Like, the average person isn't going to train that hard.
Right. No, they're not going to train that hard. But, you know, when you have untrained individuals that can't handle the high intensity, high volume, they're more susceptible to rhabdo than someone who is more trained. But even those that are highly trained can get it, but it's just not as common.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then this next liner that's going to play before the commercial break is obviously very, very wrong. But anyway, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about training to failure and whether or not it's even necessary. We're talking right now with Jonathan Mike. We're talking about overtraining, overreaching, advanced techniques. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Throw away those muscle-building rag mags and listen to real health information you can trust.
So right now what's trending is like resistance exercise, CrossFit. So he's like, well, I'm going to write an article that will make all of those people go, what? There are people out there who are trying to convince themselves that heavy resistance training is not good for you. They want to be substantiated by why they don't go into the gym and do any kind of work. In order for you to get rhabdomyolysis, you have to be an extremely well-trained athlete who pushes your body beyond the point of no return. And even then you may not get rhabdo.
Only on Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
They couldn't get rhabdo if I said, get rhabdo and I'll give you $1 million.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Train harder, train longer, recover faster, and elevate protein synthesis. It's finally here, Splice, with branched-chain amino acids, taurine, and trimethylglycine. You'll blast through your workouts without the need for stimulants, and the alpha-lactalbumin ensures your workouts will be the most productive because nothing accelerates muscle growth faster. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Predator Nutrition banner ad and use the coupon code SPLYCE10 to save 10% off today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Superhumans using Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder are experiencing dramatic improvements in strength, performance, recovery, and endurance. Benefits that cannot be duplicated by any other supplement. Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder will take your game to another level. If you already know how great Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum is, you can purchase 4 jars of Extra Edge Colostrum Powder for $200. Use coupon code SHR2. See the Percoba banner ad on superhumanradio.com today.
Scientists around the world confirm the vital importance of redox signaling to cell health. ASEA is the first and only stable, perfectly balanced mixture of these redox signaling reactive molecules that exist outside of living cells and can be used to help maintain proper balance inside the body to support the immune system, recovery, and the healing process. To learn more about ASEA and what it can do for you, go to superhumanradio.com and click the ASEA banner ad today.
Get stronger, feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Later in the show, Al Cavadlo will come on to talk about progressive calisthenics. Right now we're talking with Jonathan Mike. We're talking about, well, right now we're going to talk about training to failure. So, is it even necessary? Is this another one of those advanced techniques that gets overused? What do you think?
I think overall it certainly gets overused. And there's a lot of people out there, coaches and trainers, that, unfortunately they have the mindset that, you know, muscular failure, you know, during the set, if it's not achieved, then, you know, it's either counted as additional warm-up set or that failure, like failure has to be completed on every set. You know, when you have that type of mindset, I mean, you really just don't know how it works and you really just don't know what you're doing. I mean, you know, failure has been around for a long period of time. It's been integrated by, you know, bodybuilders, you know, for decades, but, and it's deeply rooted in strength training, but overall, you know, there really lacks a substantial amount of supported evidence for it.
Did I lose you?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I thought I left. So is it a mistake to train? Do you even need to train to failure at all? Is there any value in it whatsoever? And if so, how frequently should someone try it?
Sure. You know, that's a great question. There's actually benefits and risks. So, you know, benefits, contributing factors and mechanisms, you know, it's associated with metabolic stress, but, you know, one factor is greater increases in lactate within muscle from that enhanced metabolic stress. So you're training to failure, you're going to have more metabolic stress and have more lactate types of production. Another benefit to training to failure, you know, and we've all really experienced this, toward the completion of the set or series of sets, you know, a lot of those smaller motor units, you know, those small twitch types of fibers, you know, become more fatigued. So fast twitch fibers and motor units are really called upon, you know, from the nervous system in order to really, you know, complete the task. So those are some of the benefits. You know, of course, there's always a benefit to risk ratio with everything. Really, the main risk with training to failure is just overtaxing your nervous system. You know, and I don't think failure needs to be used a hell of a whole lot, but when you do it, it's probably recommended that you train a failure on say, a last set of a given exercise, but there's really other factors involved, like, you know, what's your overall workload like? What's your intensity? What's your volume? What types of exercises are you doing? Are you squat, benching, and deadlifting, or are you doing calves, you know, for arms?
Right.
You know, how many reps and sets and all that stuff. So, I mean, those are the things that you need to take in consideration. You know, you can do other things to go above and beyond failure, like other training techniques, like force reps and drop sets, but those tend to be even more taxing than just traditional training to failure, and those will take probably a little bit more recovery time depending on the individual response.
What about so when you use a lot of these advanced techniques and you're supposed to use them sparingly, but even in the scheme of training, I guess periodization is really ignored by a lot of people. They tend to want to get into the gym and make progress week after week, month after month, and don't see backing off of the gas pedal as a valuable step. Instead, they see it as a hindrance, so they don't do it. Is this really a mistake, or do you think that somebody can make continuous gains if they really listen to their bodies, they're getting good sleep, they're getting the right type of nutrition, and so on?
Recovery is always going to be an important and integral part of the training process. I mean, you can't just keep training and training and training and hope, you know, that you're going to recover as you get more highly trained. As you get more highly trained, you know, recovery becomes a lot more important. I mean, I remember when I was in my early 20s, I could train a lot more and train harder, and I could recover fine. You know, and as you get older, your training philosophy, you know, in terms of frequency, you know, and intensity and volume those have to change in order to accommodate not only, you know, both the aging process, but really it's all based around, you know, recovery. I've known guys that get progress on 2 days a week, you know, whether it's total body workouts or, you know, an upper lower type of split, but it all depends on the individual response. You know, periodization is used quite extensively, but it's also kind of ignored, just like you said. I mean, there's linear periodization and undulating or nonlinear, you know, stepwise and, you know, and conjugate. As the person, I mean, at least I believe, you know, a lot of it from the science, as you get more highly trained, you have to start doing different types of periodization that allow for more recovery within the week, you know, biweekly and over the course of your training cycle, whether that's, you know, 4 weeks or 4 to 6 weeks or, you know, however long it is. And, you know, unfortunately, there's so much science on linear and nonlinear, but, you know, what we know of, like, the conjugate system, you know, from the Russians has worked, you know, tremendously. And I train with a lot of guys that use it, and I know a lot of guys at the Elite FTS are big fans of it. But, you know, we don't really know what type of periodization is best used to maximize, you know, recovery overall. We just don't know that yet.
You know, Arthur Jones was really one of the first people to start talking about this, and then Mike Metzger picked it up from there because of their the intensity of those workouts that they were doing. That, you know, they both said, look, the stronger you get, the more time off you need because you're making deeper inroads into not just it's not all about muscle damage. Let's be honest. The muscles can quite often recover a lot faster than the nervous system can recover. And quite often the muscles are ready to go at it again, but you don't feel like going at it, which is an indicator that your nervous system isn't ready. And so the notion that the stronger you get, the deeper inroads you make into depleting the nervous system, and hence the longer you need to recover. Would you agree with that statement?
Oh, 100%, absolutely. There's no question.
I mean, I think about cars, right? If you have a car that has a four-cylinder engine in it, it really doesn't have a lot of power to do any real damage to the drivetrain and the chassis. Now you take a 6,000 horsepower funny car, and you gotta tear that thing down and rebuild it every single week just to overcome the stress and the bending and so on. So if you have more power, then you're making deeper inroads, and if you're making deeper inroads, then you need to rebuild more frequently. And rebuilding for athletes is getting more rest, more time off.
Yep, absolutely. And you know, one of the things, I mean, I think overall, it's a lot. You know, the majority of bodybuilders, to me, they're not as at risk with overreaching and overtraining, and they don't need to focus a lot more on training on recovery than strength athletes like, you know, throwers or powerlifters, strongman, because they're not using, on the whole, they're not using max loads and heavy loads as frequently as, you know, powerlifters and strongmen. So they can get away with it, you know, a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, I would tend to agree with that because the volume does not do what intensity does to the nervous system. Actually depletes the nervous system of neurotransmitters to fire the muscles.
Yep.
And this is why I come full circle to, you know, Dan John came on this show years ago with a very, very simple technique to assess your own levels of fatigue and overtraining. And that was, you know, pick a key on a keyboard, get a stopwatch, and tap that key as many times as you can in 15 seconds while you're in a well-rested state, and then do that again and again as you start getting deeper and deeper into your training. And it makes sense because what happens is recovery is related to neuromuscular adaptation, and neuromuscular adaptation depends on neurotransmitters. And neurotransmitters fire nerves. And if you can't fire those nerves quickly, then that means that you haven't recovered yet. And I think that's a very simple, you know, you don't need a lot of sophisticated equipment way for the average person to assess their level of recovery. But I know there's a lot of people in the audience going, yeah, that makes sense, but none of us have done it.
Right.
And that's the other thing. Nobody really pays attention to it at the end of the day.
No, they don't. And, you know, in terms of, you know, lifting and, you know, eccentrics and overreaching and overtraining and training and failure, I mean, they're all linked, you know, to one another. You know, and with lifting, you know, it always comes back down to volume and intensity. And I'm not saying that, well, you know, go do a bunch of volume and you're going to be overtrained, or go train at high intensity and you're going to be overtrained. It doesn't really work that way. And, you know, when people assume that training load by itself explains for a variety of occurrences with overtraining, I mean, that's a lie too. And you often hear people say, you know, well, you're not overtrained, you know, you're just under-recovered. Well, that's a lie too, because you can be under-recovered and not fully overtrained, okay?
Uh-huh.
And people talk about overtraining as if the only thing involved with overtraining is just the actual training part. You know, when you hear that, I mean, you just really need to be careful and start to question those who say that type of thing.
Yeah. I want to take a commercial break, and when we come back, I want to talk about something that's kind of parallel but aside from this, and that is the use of pre-workout supplements that really, really gear you up and make you train harder, perhaps, and what the collateral cost of that is over long periods of time. We're talking right now with Jonathan Mike. His website is thestrengthexchange.com. You can go there and read his blogs, learn more about him. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Previously on Superhuman Radio.
The American government loves Monsanto, because if Monsanto's successful, then we will control the world, because we'll have control of the food.
Listen to Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore, weekdays at noon.
It's new, it's cutting edge, and it's custom made to get you to Gainesville. The Blueprint Meteoric is here. Meteoric is the final frontier for drug-free athletes. Includes brand new breakthrough information about triphasic energy system training and macronutrient cycling, specifically designed to transform your physique in record time. For a limited time, get the Blueprint Meteoric for free, along with the legendary Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms in a Single Workout when you subscribe to the Blueprint Bulletin. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Blueprint banner ad.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
The best fat loss patch just got better. Now the Age Force Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat?
Jumping higher, left and more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. Everywhere you turn, there are pre-workout supplements out there that are designed to get you to work harder and push harder. But are they doing us a great disservice, you think, Jonathan?
Well, it really depends on what type of pre-workout stimulant and supplement that it is. I mean, there's different ones. I mean, there's like non-nutrient things like caffeine, and I mean, make no mistake. I mean, it's the most widely consumed drug in the world. I mean, there's so much science on this stuff. I mean, if you even don't even think you can try to ignore it, because I mean, it works flat out. I mean, everybody that I know, you know, drinks coffee, you know, before training, or I've actually done it during the training session before just to see if that would, you know, make things any different. But, you know, caffeine is really great. There's other things, you know, I mean, creatine is another, you know, big one. You know, beta-alanine has actually gained a lot more attention in recent years. You can get a little bit of what's called paresthesia if you take a little bit too much at one time, just a little bit of tingling, you know, especially up on the back.
It's almost like it's like a niacin flushing is what it feels like. It's not so bad.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. It goes away in an hour. But you know, one of the things about these pre-workout stimulants and supplements, I mean, the overall design, you know, what's the overall purpose, right? I mean, they're just designed to, you know, stimulate overall, you know, nervous system, the central nervous system, sympathetic output and tone, and you can't just take these things and automatically expect that you're going to get a huge effect from them. And the reason I say that is because it goes back to so many things and responses, right? I mean, certain people respond better to other things, especially with caffeine, you know, and creatine. There's high responders, low responders, and no responders. I mean, and you don't really know that until you start to really, you know, consume it over time. But from a lot of the science that I've seen and talked with other guys, those that lift a lot are just more sensitive and respond a lot more to caffeine and creatine than other like endurance types of athletes.
You know, the thing that I see is that when we talk about the whole concept of overtraining, if you're using pre-workout supplements because you won't be able to get through your workout without it, I think that that's a sign that you're masking possibly overtraining. And that's where I see the real big problem, especially pre-workout supplements that do have stims in them, whether they be, you know, guarana, yohimbine, some caffeine, and so on and so forth. If you're using a pre-workout supplement, and most people are using pre-workout supplements because they feel like they won't be able to get through their workout without them. And I think that's a real dangerous situation, in my opinion. When you're young, you may be able to get by with it, but when you start getting older, it becomes dangerous.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I've had some people come up to me and ask me about some of these supplements, you know, the NO Explode type of thing. And I had one or two people come up to me and ask me about those types of products. And of course, I mean, hence, you know, they were, you know, 19 or 20 years old and, you know, barely been, I mean, they don't even know how to really deadlift right. So you could take that for, you know,
right,
what it's worth. But
right,
one of them said, one of them said that they can't get through their training session, they can't make gains without that stuff. And I really didn't even know what to say. So, yeah. But I think if you feel like you have to use that stuff in order to really get through the session, then, you know, maybe you just need to reprioritize, you know, your philosophy and the way you think.
What about just taking some time off? And if so, what is a good amount of time to take off? Let's say somebody's sitting and listening to the show and they're going, you know, I've really never paid attention to overtraining. I wonder if I'm overtrained or maybe I'm too far beyond the overreach zone. I think I'd like to see. Let me take some time off. There's a lot of discussions that if you take off too much time, you start losing your strength and gains. If you don't take off enough time, you don't make enough inroads into recovery. What do you think is a good prescriptive? Okay, you wanna reset everything. Take off for X amount of time.
That's a really good question, and the honest answer is that we don't really know. If you're so used to training in a 4-week type of training cycle, what I do personally and what a lot of other guys do, they'll go highly advanced guys, they'll go 3 to 4 weeks and say after like the 4th week of training, they'll deload, you know, the next week, which would be like the 5th week, and they'll only train, say, once or twice, you know, half the amount of volume or lower the intensity, take the rest of the time off, do some recovery modalities and strategies, come back the next week, and you've restarted your new training cycle. But what I found is that even if you do that, say if it's, you know, 4 weeks, sometimes I felt, and I'm sure a lot of other guys will really agree, sometimes that end of that first week, when you're trying to go back to a new training cycle, you're not fully recovered yet. So you have to take a little bit, even more time to recover. But it all really depends on what you've been doing throughout that, you know, 4 to 6 week type of training cycle. You know, how much volume and intensity that you're doing. If you're only training twice a week, you're doing like, say, total body, or you're just doing just arms and calves and stuff like that. I mean, you don't really need to, you can go a little bit longer without taking some time off, but with high level strength athletes, and even endurance athletes, I mean, you really need to plan some strategic recovery time, just to prevent or even really reduce symptoms of overreaching and overtraining.
Yeah. So let's just genderify this discussion. Do women suffer from overtraining as much as men, or does ego play a large role in it, you think?
I think both males and females do have symptoms of overtraining. It's not exclusive to one or the other, but one of the unanswered questions about this whole thing is that, are there major gender differences? And we don't really know. Again, it all depends on the training program and, you know, the time of year, is it in season and off season? You know, how much does, you know, protein or amino acid supplementation play in reducing these types of events? You know, how do they respond to certain types of training? You know, a lot of people respond well to high volume, some high intensity, some a mix of both. So we don't really know that. That's just one of many unanswered questions.
Well, and I know that you worked with the field hockey teams at UofL, I believe, which is a predominantly women. I mean, women play field hockey, obviously. And so is there any special considerations when we talk about women in training that have to be discussed? For instance, does it matter if a woman is getting close to her period? And if so, how does that affect training volume, intensity, and so on?
That's a really good question. I mean, when you're doing like studies of like overtraining or even the training studies in general, when you're working with females, you have to take, you know, menstruation into consideration, because it can not only skew results, but they may not be able to recover optimally so they can continue on with their training sessions. But what I found is working with females and even females in like semi-private training sessions, and just, you know, general population, women can be pushed a lot harder, you know, than men. They can do a little bit more volume and higher intensity, you know, given the same exercises and similar volume and intensity approaches, you know, than males. Females also tend to have a lot less muscle damage, than males, you know, all other things, you know, being equal. typically because of the estrogen response. You know, the estrogen response and the mechanisms of that tend to reduce symptoms and overall muscle damage.
Oh, that's really interesting. And it makes sense because they give birth. So
they
have to have different thresholds of pain to begin with than men. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you have any upcoming lectures?
I am actually giving a hands-on, both a half lecture and hands-on to the NSCA New Mexico State Clinic here in Albuquerque in late May. I'll be going to the NSCA National Conference to check that out. And then I'm also going to be speaking in October at the NSCA Personal Trainers Conference. And my talk on that is actually some of the stuff that we talked about today on the show, which is eccentric training and application. So that's what I have in the works for right now, but I'm sure there's going to be more to come. So.
You think steady-state cardio actually enhances a person's ability to recover? I know there's everybody's into high-intensity cardio right now and so on and so forth, but there seems to be a lot of value to just good old-fashioned walking for 40 minutes. What do you think about that?
I think steady-state cardio is very valuable, but it's also highly, highly criticized by a lot of people in the industry. High-intensity interval training works very well. It helps promote, fat mobilization and utilization, and it also does very well for recovery. But just, high-intensity steady state, whether it's, walking on a treadmill on an incline or doing, elliptical for 25 minutes, 45 minutes, when you're doing high-intensity weight training, whatever type of system that you use, when you're done, during the middle of your reps of your set, you're using specific energy systems, phosphagen and glycolysis, and mitochondrial respiration. But during your rest, when you take rest breaks during sets or transition, to other exercises, you're using all those energy systems. You're using mitochondrial respiration to recover. And I know just from the way that I respond, if I don't do those things, whether it's the sled pushes and prowler pushes, or high intensity steady state cardio, I can get through my training sessions, but it takes a lot longer and I'm just dragging ass.
Yeah.
So both need to be used. And I think more people need to be a little bit more open-minded about just overall steady state. And I know it's a little bit different scenario when you're doing like dieting contests or when you're dieting, but, doing fitness and figure shows and bodybuilding. But, the whole notion that you need to do, 2 to 3 hours of cardio, 3 or 4 days a week to get lean, it's just a bunch of horse crap.
Yeah. No, I know. We realize now that using cardio to burn calories, it's easier just to eat less. I had Sabina Scala on my show quite a long time ago, and she works with MMA fighters, and she's over in the UK. And we talked about the value of steady state, moderate intensity cardio to affect eccentric hypertrophy of the heart, because concentric hypertrophy is affected by heavy resistance training. And so we end up becoming very one-sided if we're not careful. And it always comes back to, you got to do everything. Everybody wants to focus on, like the pharmaceutical industry wants to get to the one component of something that does everything. And then we realize that there were other synergistic effects. And the fitness industry tends to want to make it so easy for people that they can do something for 10 minutes a day and
exactly
all the benefits. And you can't. You just can't.
No, you just can't. Well, that's the thing. Everybody wants either something for nothing, or they want to get the biggest result in the least amount of time possible. And you look at the strongest people in the world and top level collegiate athletes and Olympic athletes. They are not where they are, for training 30 minutes or 45 minutes in a day. They're just not. Just hours and hours and years and just decades of training.
Yeah. And you know what the good news about that is? It takes just as long to lose it. If you make these gains overnight with minimal things in the mix, you will lose those gains overnight as well. Listen, I want to thank you for taking time to come on the show. It's a topic that can't be discussed often enough. Let's face it, we all want to make gains. And the most efficient way to make gains quite often is taking more time off. Thanks for being on the show today, Jonathan.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It was awesome.
My pleasure. Take care. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by Al Covadlo, and we're going to talk about progressive calisthenics. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
The government may be watching us, but he's watching the government. He's Carl Lenore, only on Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
The UK is known for its queen, Big Ben, and fish and chips. Well, move over. Here's the UK's strongest pro-hormone, Extreme Mass. Extreme Mass will give you a significant amount of muscle and strength. Gains of up to 10 kilograms in a 4-week cycle. You'll see an increase in libido, vascularity, and aggression. Shatter your personal bests in the gym while on Extreme Mass. Save 10% off. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Extreme Mass banner and use coupon code MASS10.
Only one testosterone booster, Mahler's Aggressive Strength, raises testicular cholesterol levels while increasing gonadotropin, releasing hormone. That in turn turbocharges how much testosterone you can make. In a clinical trial, this resulted in a 347% increase in testosterone, and it won't bottom out your estrogen levels either, so your libido will be in high gear. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aggressive Strength banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and get 10% off today.
It's new, it's cutting edge, and it's custom made to get you to Gainesville. The Blueprint Meteoric is here. Meteoric is the final frontier for drug-free athletes. Includes brand new breakthrough information about triphasic energy system training and macronutrient cycling. Specifically designed to transform your physique and record time. For a limited time, get the Blueprint Meteoric for free, along with the legendary add 1 inch to your upper arms in a single workout when you subscribe to the Blueprint Bulletin. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Blueprint banner ad.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. You know, bodyweight training, calisthenics, it's making a huge comeback within the fitness, health, general preparedness industries. And my next guest is well-known, Al Covadlo. How you doing, Al?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, my pleasure, my pleasure. You know, it's amazing. It really never went away, right? I mean, the whole body weight calisthenics thing never went away, but it kind of got covered up by the gym membership and everything else, right?
Yeah, it got ignored for a little while. And, yeah, like you said, to a certain extent, there were some people who it almost seemed like didn't want people to know about it because it's hard to sell gym memberships when people know that they don't need them.
Well, so but let's dispel a few myths, first of all.
Sure.
How strong can you get using calisthenics in general?
As strong as you're willing to work hard, which is true of pretty much any modality. I mean, let me be clear. You know, I don't want to be a hater about gyms. Like, weight training is definitely a good way to get strong, too. And, of course, most people at gyms aren't even doing weight training. They're just doing a lot of machines that I don't even want to get into.
Right.
But my point isn't to come out here and say, hey, calisthenics is the best thing, but you can get very, very strong with it. And the only limits out there are just how hard you're willing to work and how much work you're willing to put in.
And the reality is that calisthenics actually can be more difficult than weight training. And I want to just kind of explore this and qualify it. So I've always had this theory, right? If you think about neuromuscular activation as a city with an electrical grid, right? And you think about all the homes on that electrical grid demanding power at the same time, and cities have things called brownouts where they just can't supply enough power, right?
Sure.
When you start talking about doing things like pistol squats, or these high intensity, almost ballistic push-ups, one-arm push-ups, you're talking about activating every muscle. Or just about, let's say, 80% of the muscles in your body are all working together. And if you don't have the neurotransmitters, you end up with a brownout. You just can't do the movement. You get what I'm going with there? I mean, is that accurate?
Yeah. Well, that's kind of, you know, the whole idea behind progressive calisthenics is making steps along the way so that if you can't do the harder exercises, and the easy ones are too easy for you, there's ones in the middle. Because that's the problem. A lot of people think that calisthenics kind of ends with push-ups and pull-ups. And that's almost a jumping-off point where then you can gradually build some more advanced variations on those things. But to a certain extent, you know, you need to have somewhat of a system in order to get to those advanced moves.
I just started doing chin-ups. Right now I'm 238 pounds, and I'm a really strong guy. And I have
a lot.
If
you're 238 and you're doing chin-ups, you're definitely strong.
Well, but keep in mind, I can only do like six or seven at a time. I have so much respect for the chin-up; it's just amazing. I never really tried to do them before, right? And mm-hmm. So I started doing them, and it's amazing how focused you have to be. And I'm not doing the CrossFit, you know, I'm not, my legs are hanging.
You're doing strict.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it looks like I'm dead from the waist down. I'm just hanging there. But my God, it's amazing to do chin-ups. They're amazing. And my biceps have gotten bigger from chin-ups.
You know, I get asked so much what I do for my arms. And when people hear that pull-ups are the main thing I do for my biceps, they're often surprised because my biceps look pretty good.
I know.
I say so myself.
It's amazing. So anyway, let's talk about progressive calisthenics as a concept for a second. So you get people who they say, yeah, I can do push-ups, I can do, you know, pull-ups, I can do these different movements. How do you make them harder?
Well, there's a few different ways you can do it, and they mostly involve changing the leverage because when you're working with body weight, you know, unless you're going to get a weight vest, which is a whole other story, you know, you need to find ways to make it harder without adding weight. You know, a barbell is so simple. You do the same move over and over, and you just gradually put a couple more pounds on the bar. And with calisthenics, you kind of have to almost make your body into a barbell by changing the leverage around to gradually make moves harder. And, you know, I get into a lot of detailed progressions in my books about different calisthenics exercises. And,
you've got three great books out there. You've got Stretching the Boundaries, you've got Pushing the Limits, and then you have Raising the Bar. Which of those, is it Raising the Bar that you would be?
That's the pull-up one.
Yeah, yeah.
Raising the Bar has all the pull-up progressions, and it's everything you can do with a pull-up bar, which is actually a lot more than people realize. So it's really a full upper body routine that's outlined in that book. And you can get incredibly strong with just the pull-up bar.
And you can do a one-arm pull-up, right? Or the chin-up.
I can.
Yeah,
it took me a very, very long time to get there. And it's one of those moves, you know, I'm always very candid about this. It's definitely like a fringe move for me. And what I mean by that is it's on the fringes of my capabilities. Like, I have to be having a good day and be fresh in order to do it well. And if I, you know, some days it comes a little easier or a little harder. But generally speaking, it's there for me most of the time. But you have to really respect those elite level moves, because if you try to do them too much, like you said, you could get a brown out.
You know what's funny? I remember when I was in my early 20s, right before I left New York to go west, a friend of mine gave me a book that was the Royal Canadian Air Force exercise training book. And all it was calisthenics. Movements that at that point in time were foreign to me, and now I see them all the time. You know, different types of lunging movements. The goal was to do a one-arm push-up. I mean, they had all these different things. And we hear a lot today about a term that has now made it into the fitness exercise industry, general preparedness. The reality is that the squat, the deadlift, well, maybe the deadlift. The deadlift could provide some general preparedness work because you may have to lift something heavy. But the reality is calisthenics really is the core of what we consider general preparedness. It's using your body to do things.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's something I tell people a lot, is that they shouldn't even really worry about getting into heavy weight training until they've gotten pretty solid with body weight first. And, you know, it gives you such a great foundation if weightlifting is what you want to do. So it's not one of those things that has to be exclusive, like I'm a calisthenics guy or I'm a weights guy. The two things can work together nicely if you're into both and you have access to the equipment.
Well,
and weight training.
I want to do this. We have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about that. So we have a lot of people in the audience that are strength athletes. They're lifting. Maybe we can kind of give them a peek and what a routine would look like and how often they could use it. If they want to start to experiment, with calisthenics. We're talking right now with Al Cavadlo. His website is his name, alkovadlo.com. You can go there, learn more about his books, upcoming lectures and seminars. And also he has a certification program for those of you who are personal trainers. You can check that out. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
He's asking the hard questions.
Where are the convictions for the drugs that are being used right now that are killing people?
The government is too afraid to answer.
You see all the attorneys, hey, if you develop cancer after taking this supplement, call our law office because we got a class action suit coming together.
Carl Lenore.
What's wrong with you people?
On Superhuman Radio.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. H-Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
The key to getting lean and staying lean is insulin control. Wild swings in blood sugar create body fat. How would you like to be able to ensure that more of your meals feed muscle and not fat? Now you can with GlycoSolve. GlycoSolve contains the most potent berberine on the market. It will shuttle glucose to muscle, not fat. Made in the USA in a GMP-certified facility. Save 10% when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to leanerliving.com today.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Keto Force banner ad today.
By now, everyone knows I'm a big proponent of dairy. But as we all know, not all dairy is created equal. Learn more about a form of dairy made available to us that is raw, organic, grass-fed, grass-finished, low-heat pasteurized, and cultured with probiotics. Without the offensive beta-casein protein believed to be 13 times more toxic than gluten. Check out superhumandairy.com to learn more or go to superhumanradio.com and click the green-fed dairy banner ad today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Al Cavadlo. We're talking about progressive calisthenics. It's not about jumping jacks, folks. So if somebody's out there now and they're training, they've been training with weights and they're a very, very strong individual, and they think, you know, maybe I should give this a try. I'd like to challenge my body. I want to do some things that maybe could even add to my mobility and flexibility, and calisthenics sounds like the right thing. How would they work this into their program? Would they do it at the end of a routine? Would they have a separate day where they just did calisthenics?
You know, it depends. I mean, you can do a routine that's all calisthenics, or you can combine it with other modalities. You know, you mentioned someone who's looking for mobility, and I actually just came out with a book about using calisthenics for mobility earlier this year. It's called Stretching Your Boundaries, and part of what I suggest for beginners in there is to do a lot of yoga-related moves. I have, you know, a couple exercises that are variation on yoga exercises, other ones that are combinations of yoga slash calisthenic moves, and other ones that are kind of pure calisthenics that you can use for flexibility as well. And really, the yoga calisthenics boundary is sometimes blurry.
When you say the boundary is blurry, obviously calisthenics can add to flexibility. There's no doubt about it. I mean, take, for instance, the pistol squat. I mean,
that's a great example.
Well, I mean, you have to have ankle mobility. You have to have hip. You can't have a pelvis that's tilted one way or the other from sitting all day long. It's going to correct those problems just by virtue of you being able to execute the move, right?
I mean, it's to a certain extent, the pistol is like the best example of a move that requires a lot of strength, a lot of mobility, and very good balance as well. And that's part of what I love about it is, a lot of guys who are just strong really struggle with the pistol. Sometimes it's really frustrating. But it's a very rewarding move as well if you practice toward it when you finally get it. And then you can do them as part of your training. Then you can further utilize them to continue to improve. But like you said, it does take work to even get to that first rep.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing I like about calisthenics is, you know, so many of us are in relationships. We have husbands, we have wives, and you know, a lot of women can't train with their husbands if it's a weight routine, right? Because nobody wants to have to strip the bar, reload the bar, every, you know, going back and forth. It becomes a little arduous. And so the woman goes off and does her routine. The guy goes and does his routine. So they arrive at the gym and they leave together, but they don't train together. But when you're doing calisthenics, it's your body. It's your body weight. You can train together.
Yeah, it definitely makes it easier to do group workouts. You know, without any equipment, if everybody can kind of, at different levels, people can modify the exercise to suit, you know, where they're at, either by regressing it or progressing it to make it harder.
Do you find that women do well with calisthenics, that they enjoy it and it's challenging, but because they're working with their own body weight, they tend to thrive in that environment?
Yeah, I've had a lot of women come to my workshops and classes, and a lot of my one-on-one clients are females as well. So it's definitely definitely popular with the ladies.
Now you do boot camps in Tompkins Square Park in the village, right? In New York.
I do. It's kind of sporadic right now. So when I'm here in the summers, I've been doing a lot of traveling lately, doing workshops in other places. But when I'm here, I'm still doing the class on Saturday mornings. So if people are interested in coming to that, I'm actually offering it as a free class because the schedule is so sporadic that it's just going to be almost like a special event sort of thing.
Yeah, like
people are interested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say you'll announce and then people just have to show up basically, right?
Yeah, if people go to my website, you mentioned before, alkavadlo.com, alkavadlo.com, they can sign up to follow me on Facebook or Twitter or follow the blog, and I'll be announcing the dates. You know, I'm going to probably be doing this Saturday if it doesn't rain. We've been having some rain lately. It's looking good, though. By the weekend, it's going to clear up. So if people are listening and they want to come down this Saturday, they should definitely get in touch with me because there's like 99% chance I'm doing the class this weekend.
It's easy to see that upper body requires push and pull movements, and you've got those basically in the pull up, the chin up, the push up. I'm assuming that you are a proponent of doing handstand push ups as well for shoulder.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
Like the pistol, yeah, it takes practice to get there. Someone at the beginning can't just jump in and try to do that; they might jack themselves up, or worse, like land really hard on their head.
Now, I'm assuming that you can start out by using the wall to have your feet against if you don't have the balance to get into that position, right?
Yeah, you know, the first thing, obviously, that I recommend before someone try a handstand push-up is to get pretty good at regular push-ups first. You know, if you can't do at least 10 regular toe push-ups, you're not going to be ready to do even a regressed version of a handstand push-up. Might still be too hard.
Uh-huh.
And then the first step toward the handstand push-up that I teach people is like a pike push-up, where your feet are still on the floor, but you have your hips up in the air,
huh,
and you're kind of mimicking the handstand push-up movement with your feet still on the ground. And from there, it's a matter of elevating the feet gradually until you're in a full handstand.
Now, I would imagine that, because we kind of talked about negatives and statics, and we talk about that in training, I would imagine that getting into the position and just holding yourself there before you actually try to execute a full handstand push-up is probably one of the steps to gaining the strength in the shoulder girdle, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can't do a handstand push-up if you can't do a handstand, right? So
yeah. That's
definitely going to be a prerequisite. And, you know, that's a move. If you're going to do a negative, make sure you put something soft down under your head first.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you crash down, you have something to...
Exactly. Give yourself some padding, a couple mats or something.
So I can see the push and pull availability, but what about legs? Do guys who focus on calisthenics lack anything in legs because they're not squatting and, heavy weights and stuff like that?
You know, that's one of the biggest misconceptions about calisthenics, and, you know, I hear that a lot. You know, it's a myth that is perpetrated in a lot of prominent places. But you can absolutely build very strong legs with nothing but your own body weight. And, the pistol, as you mentioned, is a great body weight exercise that's very advanced and requires a lot of strength and can make you very strong. But even beyond that, there's variations of the pistol. You can start adding more difficulty just by changing the leverage, by moving the position of your hands. The standard pistol,
No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
In the standard pistol, your hands are reaching toward your toe. But just changing the leverage by putting your hands behind your head right there is going to make the move a little bit harder. It's the equivalent of putting another 10-pound plate on each side of the barbell.
Mike Boyle came on my show many years ago, and he's a big proponent of single-leg training for athletes. He says, look, you live life on one foot at a time. When you're squatting, and anybody who's ever done leg presses will know what I'm talking about. If you're doing leg presses with both feet versus one foot at a time, it's not a 1+1 thing. The hip girdle adds a great deal of strength that you lose when you're doing things on one leg. So you may be able to leg press 1,000 pounds. That doesn't mean that you can leg press single leg 500 pounds. You may not be able to leg press 200 pounds. So when you start doing these single leg things, I have to believe that there's the sum of the parts is type
absolutely
of an equation.
It adds up.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would imagine that you get a lot stronger, if you're doing single leg work when then you start doing two leg work right after that.
I've met guys who, like you said, could leg press 1,000 pounds and couldn't do one single pistol squat. And yeah. In some cases, that's also a mobility issue as well as a strength issue, as you mentioned.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously, when we start to talk about exercise as one of the prescriptive steps for longevity and health, I have to believe that mobility is very, very overlooked as far as we start to age. I mean, me, myself, I notice the muscles in my instep of my feet at 55 years old are noticeably stiffer than they used to be. And I have to work really, really hard to, I started doing, when I would sit for long periods of time, I take my shoes off and I purposely, reverse curl my feet so that I actually get cramps in the arches when I first start doing them, to try to stretch those instep muscles, because we're so used to walking just one way. And so mobility requires you have to do things with muscles that are atypical to normal movement, right?
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of feet, you know, so many shoes are designed for style more than comfort. So people are squishing their feet into shoes, and it's what you said is so good, stretching out your toes. There's so many people out there who are getting all kinds of feet issues, and it would be so easy to fix, and they're having to get surgeries instead when they could have just worn more comfortable shoes and stretched their feet more often.
Are you a fan of Five Fingers?
You know, I prefer the more like the Huarache-style running sandals. I don't really like the feeling of having the fabric in between my toes.
Uh-huh.
But I'm definitely a fan of minimalist footwear in general, so by association, I'm a fan of the Five Finger just because I think it's better than a Nike.
Yeah, than a mitten shoe that squeezes your foot together and then gives you unusual leverages because it pumps the heel up in the air. And And the other thing is, you know, walking barefoot is really important for your arches. Having arch support is really possibly a problem, causing many of the foot problems that people experience later on in life. So it's probably more important to try to walk barefoot from time to time than anything else. We're going to take a quick commercial break here. When we come back, we'll talk more about some of your other books. We're talking with Al Cavadlo. His website is Al Cavadlo, KOVADLO.com. You can learn about upcoming lectures, his books. Go there. We'll be right back.
Previously on Superhuman Radio.
Don't forget that companies like Monsanto have gone to countries where the agricultural industry is suffering and said if you grow GM crops, your farmers will have an easier time growing and it will be cheaper for them to grow and they will do better with it. And that has not happened.
He's pointing out Monsanto's lies one at a time.
Not to mention you have to pay for your seeds every single year. You can't collect your own seeds and regrow. And those seeds are expensive. Roundup is expensive. The pesticides are expensive. And you use more and more and more. And now to add insult to injury, you don't even end up with more bushels per acre after all of your misery.
Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio, weekdays at noon.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workout the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. H-Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order. Train harder, train longer, recover faster, and elevate protein synthesis. It's finally here, Splice, with branched-chain amino acids, taurine, and trimethylglycine. You'll blast through your workouts without the need for stimulants, and the alpha-lactalbumin ensures your workouts will be the most productive because nothing accelerates muscle growth faster. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Predator Nutrition banner ad and use the coupon code SPLYCE10 to save 10% off today.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Al Covadlo. His website is alcovadlo, K-O-V-A-D-L-O.com. You can learn about his three books there, his lectures, also certification. We'll talk about that in just a moment also for those of you who are personal trainers out there. So, Al, all over, everywhere you go, whether they be pole dancing classes or guys in parks, everybody wants to be able to do that flag. You know what I'm talking about?
The human flag.
The human flag.
Yeah.
How hard is that? I got a feeling that it's not as hard as it looks. Am I wrong?
I think you are. Yeah, I think it's a hard move that requires a lot of time and work to achieve. But first thing I want to let people know, my last name is spelled K-A-V-A-D-L-O.
Oh, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry.
That's all right. I just wanted to make sure that we gave people the correct spelling. But as far as human flag goes, I actually have a lot of information about it on my website. It's one of those moves that there is a formula to progress toward it. But very few people, even really strong guys, are just able to jump up and do it the first time they try. It usually takes quite a bit of work, even if you're already strong.
What about the shoulder stand? I see this in your book here. It looks really interesting. What's the value of the shoulder stand? Is that a progression to finally getting inverted and doing other types of handstand movements?
Yeah, shoulder stand is kind of a gateway exercise. It definitely has benefits on its own. It's a good mobility exercise as well. And it's one of the progressions that people can start with.
Let's talk a little bit about the certification program. So if there are people out there that are personal trainers now and they want to add this to their continuing education, how do they go about it? What does it cost? What do they get?
Well, the certification workshop that I'm doing is through Dragon Door, and a lot of people might know them because of the RKC kettlebell program. And we just started this initiative last June. We've done so far 5 of these workshops, and I actually just wrapped one up this weekend in Minneapolis that went really well. So we have a bunch more coming up all over the world. The next one in the U.S. is going to be actually in my hometown in New York City this June. So if people want to sign up for that, they can go on my website, or they can go to Dragon Door and sign up directly there through them. But, you know, in the last 10 or so months since we started doing the PCC, the Progressive Calisthenics Certification, We've certified nearly 200 trainers in three different continents. So this thing is really growing quickly. It blows my mind sometimes to think about the impact that it's already having on the fitness world.
And the certification, it's over the course of a weekend, the certification?
It's 3 days, yeah. It's a very intensive calisthenics, almost like a sampler platter. We do 11 different modules, and, you know, each one offers you several progressions that you can kind of experiment with, and you get a lot of individual attention from myself and from my brother Danny is my co-instructor, and we have a few assistants with us every time we do it as well. And then at the end, we have a physical test that people need to pass if they want to actually get the certification. And if people aren't able to do it, they still get a certificate of attendance. But it's really important to us that we actually have a physical requirement, so we're not just going out and certifying people who don't actually have some skills regarding calisthenics.
And obviously that's because if they can't execute it, that they're going to have a hard time articulating to somebody else how to execute it, right?
That's right. People need to be able to do these exercises themselves before they're teaching them.
How long have you been doing this now?
Well, I've been a personal trainer for 11 years, but the Progressive Calisthenics Certification has been around. We just started it in June of last year, so it's only been a little over 10 months.
As a personal trainer, you started out training people in gyms, I would imagine, right?
I did, yeah. My first job in a gym, actually, I was what they call a fitness floor manager, which isn't as glamorous as it might sound. It's basically just re-racking dumbbells that people leave lying around and making sure there's towels for everybody and that kind of stuff. And after that, I was able to get promoted to being a trainer, and I spent a lot of years in gyms. You know, for a long time, I was doing a hybrid of calisthenics and weight training when I was training people in the gym, because, you know, when you're in the gym and the weights are there, you might as well use them. There's use to having them. But when I left my job for, you know, that I'd been at for a long time, I wanted to work independently, you know, just for myself, and that's when I started training most of my clients at Thompson Square Park. And it became one of those things where I started having to get creative with what was available, because all that was there was some bars and a couple of benches. So I, over the years, found a lot of ways to work with very simple equipment with clients of all levels. And that's basically what we're teaching at the PCC.
Have you ever worked with individuals who suffer from neuromuscular diseases like Parkinson's or MS or anything like that?
We actually had a guy at the PCC this weekend who had MS, and he was incredibly strong and incredibly fit. So, you know, it's amazing in today's world how people take a million pills and shots but don't think of using exercise for medicinal purposes for their health. And it's really the most effective means. I mean, this guy, you would never have known in a million years that he had a degenerative disease if he wasn't so forthcoming about it.
Well, and the reason I say that is because to come full circle to what we were talking about earlier in the show, that to do these types of movements require activation of so many various muscle groups. And we know that that type of activation causes a phenomenon called collateralization of the nervous system, where you actually have neural growth factors being deployed and neurons making greater inroads into muscles. You know, it's one of those things that if you don't ask your body to do it, it doesn't do it. But when you ask your body to do it, it says, okay, we need to prepare for this. And
exactly,
there's a lot of value in a neurodegenerative disease if you have, at the same time, neural collateralization taking place as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's something I talk about a lot in my books as well, is the mind-body connection and how much you have to be mentally present for your workouts, and additionally, how much the strength is in the mind in a very literal way, like you just said.
And I could see, I could, you know, I would love, I have a friend who works with a group that, an organization that's supposed to be doing great things for people with Parkinson's disease, and she's a sweet girl. But the organization is misguided because they bring these people in with the disease and they try to give them hope, not for reversing the disease, but learning to live with it as it progresses. And I think they should be getting these people up and making them exercise, because exercise will. Yeah. I mean, look, I mean, if you're getting stronger, that means you're super compensating above and beyond the disease.
That's right.
But they don't
that. I can't speak too much about Parkinson's, but I have met several people over the years who had MS who were able to improve their symptoms by beginning or, upping their exercise regimen.
Makes perfect sense, but you won't see doctors prescribing that. They'll prescribe plenty of drugs instead.
It's really terrible, the way things have gotten.
Very, very sad. So,
but, you know, we're out there trying to do our best to spread the word and let people know that calisthenics is something that they can do. And, you know, the more that everyone who knows this information is forthcoming about it, the more we can start to get mainstream people to recognize the benefits of it.
Okay, so there's been some discussion on this show over the years about the effects of body weight exercises in actually reprogramming the body to rid itself of body fat. And we've postulated that the more you train body weight, the body actually recognizes fat as being a detriment because you have non-working weight here, and that the body actually will change its partitioning of body fat to make its life easier, because this is all part of the evolutionary gift that we have. If you expose your body to things, it adapts in ways to make it easier for you. So do you think there's any truth to that? Have you seen anecdotally same amount of work, but doing body weight work tends to make people leaner and more ripped?
I definitely believe that, like you said, due to the specific demands of the training, body weight calisthenics favors a lean build, and the body will adapt accordingly. So training with your body weight, obviously you're building muscle. And when you build muscle, you're going to increase your metabolism. And when you increase your metabolism, you're going to burn more fat. But I think, like you said, that body weight training specifically, because the body gets more efficient as it gets leaner, will adapt even more in that regard.
We've talked a lot on this show about convict conditioning. You were a contributor to that book, right?
Yes, I appear on the cover of Convict Conditioning 2, and I'm in quite a few of the pictures on the inside. And, you know, Coach Wade, the author of that book, he consulted me a bit on some of the stuff in there, so I kind of helped inform some of the progressions in there.
Yeah, we've talked about convict conditioning on the show a great deal over the years because it's a very, very impressive book for people who want to build a strong, lean body but don't have access to, fancy gyms and so on and so forth, which typically convicts, that's their situation. And so it's a really great book. Do you think that there's a blending or an overlap of the things that you talk about in convict conditioning?
Well, the guy who wrote Convict Conditioning, Paul Wade, this is a guy who was in prison for, I think, about 20 years. And this is, I was talking about how I became a trainer at Tompkins Park and had to develop a system with minimal equipment. I mean, this guy really had minimal equipment
right.
and minimal space to work with.
Right.
So his system is even more stripped down than the stuff in my books in some ways. And he and I actually worked together to put together the curriculum for the PCC. Paul Wade prefers to remain anonymous, so he doesn't actually show up and teach the course himself. And that was actually kind of a good thing for me because his books are so popular, but he didn't want to be the one presenting the material.
Right.
So I was able to step in and team up with him, and he and I came up with the curriculum together, and I'm out there with my brother Danny, and we have a few other instructors, one of whom is Adrienne Harvey, who's a very skilled female body weight practitioner. So it's really great, like you were asking about women before, having someone like Adrienne there who can demo a lot of these moves that women think, oh, if I do that, I'm going to turn into a dude. Or sometimes think, oh, a woman was just never going to be strong enough to do that. And they see a woman who looks like Adrienne doing those moves, and it makes them, more attainable because right there in front of you is someone doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, and the nice thing about these types of books, for those of you out there who are thinking to yourself, well, where would I apply this? There are days where you can't get to the gym and you don't have a home gym. You don't have a treadmill. You don't have the, and so you just go, oh, the heck with it. And you miss it a day of training, and you don't have to. When you use these advanced techniques, like the ones that are in Al's books that you can get at his website, and I correct, it's Al, KAVADLO.com. You can train at home with great intensity and still make progress and stay the course. On that note, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Your destination for the latest in health information. Super Human Radio with Carl Lenore.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair. And they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Superhumans using Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder are experiencing dramatic improvements in strength, performance, recovery, and endurance. Benefits that cannot be duplicated by any other supplement. Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder will take your game to another level. If you already know how great Percova Extra Edge Colostrum is, you could purchase four jars of Extra Edge Colostrum Powder for $200. Use coupon code SHR2. See the Percova banner ad on superhumanradio.com today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Taking vitamin D without taking the MK7 form of K2 can lead to unwanted tissue calcification. A growing body of evidence shows cardiovascular and bone benefits from taking vitamin D and K2 together. Getting MK7 from the diet is virtually impossible. Doctor-formulated Leaner Living's K2 plus D3 product is free of soybean oil and GMOs, blended into a potent olive oil base that is the dynamic duo of fat-soluble vitamins. Save 10% off when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Leaner Living banner ad today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. So, to summarize, Al, what would you say to the audience to get them to understand the real value that calisthenics could provide, both from an athleticism standpoint as well as a health standpoint?
Well, calisthenics and exercise in general, I mean, to me, my preference is calisthenics, but I always admit that all types of strength training and fitness training have their merits. Calisthenics is a great way to build strength, obviously. It's a great way to improve your mobility, as we discussed, and has a lot of great carryover to just about any sport or activity. It also is fun. More than anything else, that's my selling point. It's not about, oh, this is going to help me lose weight. It's about you might actually enjoy this and feel better afterwards.
Right.
And that's a result that you can immediately feel.
Yeah, because too often we tough it out, you know. We do things that we think we have to do or we should do as opposed to things that we want to do.
So. You know, I think it's surprising and disappointing that most people don't want to work out because it does make you feel good. But I think that that's because they've been told for so long that it's a necessary evil that you have to endure. So people feel it's like, you know, paying their taxes or something like, oh, I don't want to do this, but there's consequences if I don't. And a lot of people don't and have to suffer the consequences, which is a shame. But, yeah, it's really, it really shouldn't be such a burden on you. You should be able to find pleasure in it.
Yeah. There are three books available, and we'll list them here in just one second. The first one is Raising the Bar, correct?
Yes.
Here, let me pull them up here. I should have had them open. Pushing the Limits is another, and then Stretching Your Boundaries. So Stretching Your Boundaries tends to talk more about the value of stretchings within the confines of calisthenics. Pushing the Limits, obviously these are your pushing movements. Raising the Bar is more of your pulling movements. And then in these books, you also discuss legs because I see pistol squats and stuff like that as well. So it really does show you how to work the entire body.
You know, those three books kind of combine to form, you know, the ultimate body weight program. If you take elements of all those things and use them in your training, and they're written in a way so that each one stands alone, but they're also pretty easy to patchwork together. I think that'll really be the most well-rounded sort of program that you can do with just body weight, and the only equipment you need is a pull-up bar and the floor. And I always joke, if you don't have the floor, well, you've got much bigger problems.
Ah, that's a good one. I just literally bought one of those pull-up bars that you can attach within a doorway.
Yeah, those are great.
I hope so. I hope I don't pull the door frame down, but I have a feeling that they're designed not to do that. But because I do
want... Well, I guess
want...
it depends on your door frame, but hopefully you've got a secure one.
Well, I've got a steel one in the studio, and I actually think I'm going to bring it in here because I like to try to get little things in. Like I'll do push-ups during commercial breaks. I'll do bodyweight squats during commercial breaks just so that I don't sit all day long. And I think I'm going to bring it in here because they have steel door frames here, so I don't have to worry about yanking anything off the wall.
You know, after a while, if you bring that bar in and you're doing pull-ups during every commercial break, you might not even need to go back to the gym ever again.
Yeah, you know, between push-ups, pull-ups, and bodyweight squats, you're really right about that. The truth is I want to go back to the gym because I enjoy doing some of those heavier movements, but the reality is I wouldn't need to, and that's the
that's
critical
right.
thing. I want to thank you for taking time to come on the show today.
Well, thanks for having me here. It's been nice talking to you.
Yeah, and again, the correct website is Al Cavadlo, KAVADLO.com. Go there, learn more about his certification program. Take care, Al.
All right, thanks for having me.
All right. And then we also want to thank Jonathan Mike for coming on during the first hour, talking about recovery, overreaching, overtraining, as well as using eccentric movements. His website is thestrengthexchange.com. And we'll see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Thanks for listening.
Carl Lenore.
The FDA has exceeded all of its previous levels of being sinister.